Welcome to Compass with Hella E. Michelia, finding direction for your life.
There are five important relationships that you must build if you are going to make a success of your life. Of course, becoming successful in life is very interesting because everybody will not follow the same road. But then there are tested principles. There are principles that will work all the time. Principles have no respect for geography or people. Principles will work anywhere. The law of gravity works the same way in Nigeria as it will work in Japan or New York or London. My name is Hella E. Michelia and I want to welcome you to Compass, finding direction for your life. God has a purpose and a plan for you. Your assignment is to pursue, to follow until you discover and fulfill God's plan. My assignment is to walk along with you as you come into the fullness of that which God has for you. I'm continuing in the series of teaching, building strategic relationships. And I want us to look today at the four important relationships you must build. Four important relationships that you must build. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity to sit and meet with you today. As your word comes, I pray that your word will find place in the heart of men and bring forth fruit. Fruit that will remain and fruit that is made for repentance. In Jesus' name we pray. There are four important relationships you must build with people and one important relationship that you must build with yourself if you are going to be successful. So instead of calling it four relationships, we can call it five relationships. The first relationship you have to build is to build a relationship with yourself. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say love your neighbor more than yourself. He didn't say love your neighbor beyond yourself. He said love your neighbor as yourself. That is that you should position yourself in such a way and such a manner that as you would want others to, you know, treat you, that is the same way that you are treating others. That is that a man cannot give what he does not have. So you must be able to build a relationship with yourself. You must know your goals. You must know your plans. You must know the purposes of God for you. And you must position your life in such a way and in such a manner that you are going to fulfill what God wants you to do with your life. Now, I'm saying this because I've seen people who have sacrificed their lives. Now, when I say they've sacrificed, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do something for others. In fact, the greatest way to live is to build your life in such a way that you are giving, you are being a blessing to humanity. But now, even in being a blessing to humanity, you are pursuing it as an assignment placed on you by God. That is that you are not going to allow other people to abuse you. You're not going to allow other people to misuse your giftings, your abilities, your grace as you minister to them in whatever capacity you are called to. And you're not going to allow relationships and people that will make it difficult for you to fulfill your purpose and the plans of God for your life. You are going to have to become very good at maneuvering and navigating your dealings with men in such a way that you would have to be able to fulfill God's purpose for your life. If you do not know how to navigate your relationships with people, if you do not know what to do in dealing with people, people are going to get you to a point where you may not be able to fulfill God's purpose for your life. So the first thing I want you to learn is to learn the key of managing yourself, of loving yourself, of caring for yourself. You know, you have to learn that. If you do not learn a certain level of self-love, you are not going to be. Now, I'm not saying you should love yourself, you know, to the exclusivity of every other person. No, you should only favor yourself, only take care of. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you should be able to manage yourself and manage yourself in relation to the goals and the plans and the purposes of God and the things that are critical to your life and to your destiny in such a way and such a manner that your relationship with other people will not affect you from fulfilling God's plan for your life. So the first relationship you are going to have to build is relationship with yourself. The second relationship you're going to have to build is relationship with mentors. And when I use the word mentors here, I use it from a very wide perspective. I'm talking about those who are fathers, those who are teachers, those who are coaches, you know. You we have many words we use for that. Pastors, whoever is already in the position that you are trying to become, whoever is already doing what you desire to do, is somebody who can teach you. And if your spirit synchronizes with that person, if you agree with the lifestyle of that person and the methodology of that person, then that person can stand in the position of a mentor for you. Number three, you must be able to build a relationship with your mentees. Who is a mentee? That is the person that you are passing down what you know. Success without a successor is failure. Success without a successor is failure. So you must have a mentee. No matter how young you are, there is someone that you can teach something to. If you you are 5 years old, you can have a 3-year-old brother that you can mentor. If you are 10-year-old old, you can have a 5-year-old person that you can mentor. Now, the question I have for you today is, who are you mentoring? Who are you mentoring? If you are not mentoring anybody, then you are not truly successful, because the greatest legacy you're going to leave in life is not the house you built, the cars you have. All of these things are going to run down. They're going to fall apart. They're going to get rusted. They get outdated, you know. But the greatest legacy you're going to leave is what you have left in men, not what you have left for men. So you have to build a relationship with yourself. You have to have a mentor. You have to have a mentee. And then you have to have good personal relationships with people. Great personal relationships with people. This can be brothers, it can be sisters, it can be friends, it can be a wife, whatever it is, or husband. You're going to have to build great relationships. And the most important relationship, you're going to have to build a relationship with God. Now, these are the 5 relationships that I'm going to encourage you in the year 2021 to build. I call them strategic relationships. That is, that those relationships are relationships that have outcomes. They have very strong, great outcomes. They are going to impact how your life is going to be, what you're going to become. These relationships are going to impact those places in your life. So I'm going to start with the first relationship today. In the next few minutes that we have, I want to talk to you about the relationships that we have. I mean, the relationships that you need to build. Relationship number one, you need to build a relationship with yourself. Like I said, Plato said, to know yourself is the beginning of wisdom. There are a lot of people who are very sacrificial. They are very loving. They are very caring, but they do not have adequate care for themselves. They do not understand themselves. They do not know their shortcomings. They do not know how far they can go. They are willing to do so much for everybody, willing to give, especially people who stand in the caregiving kind of ministry. Whether you are a pastor, whether you are a doctor, whether you are a nurse, you know, whatever kind of caregiving ministry you fall into, you provide service to people, you know. There's a high tendency for people that fall within this category to care so much about others, to care so much about other things, that they forget what they are supposed to be doing. This happened in the life of Moses. God had called Moses to be a leader, to take the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and take them to the promised land. And Moses was so committed to his people. I mean, even before God made a formal call upon the life of Moses, that is that when Moses was still in the house of Pharaoh, Moses one day, the Bible says, went out to visit his brethren. He was a prince. He didn't have to, you know. But if you look at the ministry of Moses, you see a man who had a true love for the people. And often, people who truly love others end up becoming victims of other people. They fail to achieve their greatest potential, most of the time, not because of their personal weaknesses. And what I mean by personal weaknesses, not because of something that is internal them, but because it is internal in their life, but because they want to go out there and be a blessing. They care about people so much, you know. And Moses was that kind of person. The Bible says one day Moses woke up and said, no, let me go and visit my brethren. And it seems to me that that was the lifestyle of Moses, you know. Though he was prince, he was second in command to the king, yet Moses went to visit his people. And the Bible says when Moses went to visit his people, he saw two people fighting. He saw an Egyptian and an Israelite fighting. And the Bible says he got in there and tried to separate them. And the Bible says in trying to do that, the Bible says he killed the Egyptian. He didn't know that somebody else was looking at him. And the Bible says, you know, the next day he came back again and saw another two Israelites this time around fighting, and he got in to separate them. What is that? Moses had a heart for the people whom God has called him to lead. Moses had a heart for them. And so when you look at when Moses came back for the second time now to liberate the children of Israel out of the land of bondage, you will discover that every time these people will come to Moses and cry, you know, they want water to drink, they will come and cry, they need to eat bread, they want meat and everything. And if you look at the psychology and the lifestyle of Moses, you would notice that Moses was always directly dealing with these people, dealing with every one of their problems, settling small disputes, big disputes. He was a fully engaged, you know, hands-on minister of the gospel. Now, the problem with that was that in trying to, you know, meet the needs of the people, Moses fell out with God, because God said to him, go and speak to the rock so that water will come out. because of the passion Moses had for the people, and because he didn't want to see these people in desperate situations. And then the people were very unbelieving, you know, and they would press onto Moses, and Moses took their concerns and their problems very, very personally. Moses, instead of speaking the rock as God said, Moses struck the rock, and God said, this is your judgment. Because you struck the rock, instead of speaking the rock, you are not going to enter into the promised land. And Moses will write concerning that in the book of Deuteronomy. Moses will write, and Moses will say, and it went ill for me in the matters of the water of Meribah because of you, which means my ministry was cut short. Not because necessarily that I was doing something negative or bad in connection to God, but because I was so concerned about you. I was so worried about you. I wanted to make things work for you. And then I went and did something, and God got offended with me. God got unhappy with me. And God said I was not going to enter into the land of promise. I want to talk to you. Are you taking care of yourself now? There's a thin line here. If you do not get what I'm trying to say, you'll become so self-centered, only self-caring. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you got to know how far you can go in dealing with people in such a way that you do not allow people to push you over onto the other side where you miss out what God has in store for you. You need to learn self-care. You need to learn self-love. There are a lot of people who are burning out. There are a lot of people who are stressed. There are a lot of people, you know, who are giving, you know, more than, you know, they are getting. You know, they just keep giving and giving and giving out, you know, giving care, giving love, giving support, giving attention, giving time, you know, and all of that. And they are running out of every supply that they have. And before you know anything, you know, their health is breaking down. Things are not working. They're getting distracted. Everybody wants your attention. And you have not learned the wisdom to know there's a time for everything. There's a time to give people attention. And then there's a time to lock down your phone, lock yourself, get out of where people can find you so that you can recover yourself. There's a time when you give yourself to reading and say, no, I'm not going to listen to anybody. Because if you do not do that, the little that you have, people keep drawing on it, and people keep drawing on it. And as they keep drawing on it, you keep being deflated and keep being deflated until one day you're going to be empty. And you have to understand something about people. As long as you are irrelevant in the lives of people, as long as people cannot get anything out of your life, they're going to throw you the next minute. They're going to throw you out of their life. They're going to throw you out the next minute. So listen, never put yourself in a position where you cannot refresh yourself. You cannot gather yourself out because you're trying to minister to people. You must love others as you love yourself. And now, it is not saying that you put yourself first. That's not what this scripture is saying. This scripture is saying that whatever it is that you want to see and in a good, because there are people who don't want to see good in the lives of others. But we are saying that whatever good thing you want to see in the lives of people, do the same thing to yourself. Let it be proportional to what you would also want to see in your life. So if you're giving time to people, if you're giving attention to people, if you're concerned about the challenges of people, you also need to give time to yourself. You also need to give time to attention to yourself. You also need to be concerned about the destiny of God for you, and you need to make time to fulfill God's destiny for you. Whatever it is that God may be calling you to do, don't live your life in such a way and in such a manner that you are not in tune with yourself. You must make strategic time to spend time with yourself. Remember, if your body breaks down, if you lose focus, if you become distracted, you will never be able to fulfill God's purpose for your life. And you're going to stand before God, and you're not going to tell God, well, God, you know, I was so much with the people. I was so busy with the people. No, you see, you are not going to be able to give that excuse, because the time that God gave to you, he gave you time that you can give to people and time that you must focus on yourself. So the first relationship you must build this year is the relationship of you and you. You must build your relationship with you. You must groom yourself. You must edify yourself. You must build yourself up. You must nourish yourself. It is out of the abundance of the heart. It is out of that which you have that you're going to give to others. Build a relationship with yourself this year. Well, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. It's good to have you. I'll meet you at the next broadcast. God bless you.
I am sure you have been blessed by today's episode of Compass. Compass comes to you on the station Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays by 6:30 a.m. and Sundays by 11 a.m. Let's continue the interaction on our social media platforms at Hella E. Michelia on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Or you could send a text message to 080-6154-3424. Until next time, keep moving in the direction of your destiny.